All right, now it's time for praises. All right, so who wants to go first? Jerry does.
I want to praise God for his word and praise God for my health.
Amen. Well, I guess I should be praising the Lord that I'm not sick with what Lisa's got.
Amen. Yeah.
So.
I don't like being sick.
No.
But I'm sick all the time.
Yeah, I hear you. Who else? Harley.
Praising the Lord, I'm on the better side of that dental surgery.
Oh, yeah. According to Jeannie's text, you were whining last week.
That makes you whine.
There's not a whole lot worse than a toothache.
It's understandable he's a guy.
I shot my fan.
What did I just do?
She sounds like it is.
Yeah. All right, who else? Okay, Mary, you're up.
Okay. My praise is also for health. I couldn't tell you years I get sick. Thank good God. I have this prayer. Listen to this. I have this prayer that I've been reading since 2003. Every morning I read this prayer. It's about God, you know, taking away sickness from me. No sickness, no nothing, whatever. Glenda, know about that prayer. And I notice I've been reading that prayer for years. I never get sick.
Good.
That's
yeah.
Bragging.
You make some
copies.
She is.
Yeah, must have been with that cold, not even a cold, slight cold, I never have no fever, nothing.
Wow.
Because of that prayer.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I want a copy of your prayer.
I read it.
Well, be careful.
Why did you say careful?
There's a difference between saying a prayer and praying. Now, you can do both at the same time, but you got to be careful that you do. But anyway, we won't get into that. There got to be another praise or two. Vicki.
Bubba and I went to see a very old friend of mine. We've been friends for 43 years, and her daughter, her middle daughter, is my namesake, and she got married yesterday. So Bubba and I got to spend the day with some old friends in Magnolia. It was very nice.
It was okay.
Good. Excellent.
So praise God for friends and friendships that last a lifetime and get you through the good times and the bad.
Amen. Good. Who else? Gilbert.
And praise the Lord for all the provisions he makes for all of us.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Oh, I think I have one. So it turns out that my brother may not be diabetic after all. The doctor took him off the metformin and he still has normal sugar readings, so.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go off metformin and see if it stays the same or not. Test it. I'm not crazy about being on metformin. Some of the side effects are not, you know, fun. All right, other praises. What's your praise, Clarissa?
Man, I have a lot of them. It's been like Christmas for me this week. I got a brand new microwave, which I needed badly.
Cool.
Got a brain printer.
Ooh,
yeah.
Cool.
I don't know, it's been a good week, so.
Cool. That's like getting appliances for your anniversary or something.
Yeah. Well, when you cook, when you stay in the kitchen as much as I do,
yeah,
you need tools.
Yep, gotta have your tools. All right, who else?
Happy I'm not sick, everybody else. You just look at all these blank seats. And
yeah. Yeah. Well.
I have another praise.
Yes.
Yeah, Calista has made the decision officially to move back and go to University of Houston, clearly.
Good.
So we went
good, good, good.
The apartments, and she loved them, so.
She going to be staying over there? That
one? Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure she's going to move directly from her dorm next week to the apartment. And,
cool.
Still have a little bit of, you know, separation from us.
Yeah, with the extra dog and a grown daughter.
Yeah.
It definitely would change the size of your house. It will shrink it considerably.
Yes.
All right, anybody else? We have two verses we're going to try to cover today. We're going to be in Proverbs 30. This is the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukal. We didn't really talk about the fact that this is a prophecy that was spoken. What's necessary for a prophecy to be spoken? Yes, Jerry.
The inspiration of God, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
God had to get it to you.
Yeah, okay. On along that line, who has to speak it? It has to be a prophet.
Yeah.
If it's a prophecy, there had to be a prophet somewhere in the mix there. This does lend us to believe that this is probably Solomon and David. There are a lot of times that Solomon actually is known by other names that were typically given him, not as a quote name, but as a way of description for him. And I think it's probably true. People argued about it because he says in verse 3, I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. Solomon was the wisest man to date anyway, probably since then for sure. Yet, compared to the knowledge of the holy, he's a dummy like you and me. So it would not be out of order for him to say, surely I am more brutish. Brutish means what? Anybody know?
Stupid.
Stupid. Yeah, that's what it means. For him to say that in comparison to the Holy One would not be, as a matter of fact, he's wise enough to know that that's true.
Well, when he asked God for wisdom, he said, I neither know how to go in or come out.
I mean,
and he obviously did know how to go in and come out, but compared to the Lord, he admitted that, I know nothing.
Yeah.
I need your wisdom.
I think that's true. And then what he says in verse 4, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? And by the way, this language is used of Jesus over in the New Testament because he is the one who ascended up and descended. Both. He descended into Hades. Jesus didn't descend into hell and be punished for our sins.
No, he didn't go there to be punished for it. Did he go to gather the saints that were already there waiting for him?
He went to paradise, which is in Hades, on the other side from where the heat is. Yeah. And brought home the prisoners. When David said, he will not leave my soul in hell, that's what he was talking about. So he will not leave me, and even though it's paradise, it's still not heaven. But they're in heaven today. So he did ascend and he did descend.
Can't they see the sinners on the other? Because I know the sinners from the other side could see them, because they talked about the wealthy man who could see
Lazarus.
Yeah, who could see Lazarus.
Yeah, it's not that far, obviously. But then he talks about this. He asks questions that have obvious answers. Who hath ascended into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Well, that's a descriptive phrase. It's not literal, but who controls the wind is what the question is. Well, we know. Who has bound the waters in a garment?
Yeah.
Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? And then he tells us every word of God is pure. We discussed this last Wednesday night. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Here it says don't add to the words of God. And in Revelation at the end it says don't take away from the words of God. And there's sure a lot of people out there, claiming to be apostles and claiming to be prophets and all sorts of things like that, who are doing both of those. But what we want to discuss today is verse 7 through 9. This person who wrote this prophecy, this is Agur, the son of Jacob. So we're talking about Solomon, the son of David, we think. He says here, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. And we'll find out what these are in a moment. The word required means request. The two things that I'm asking of thee. who's he talking to here?
God.
He's talking to God. Yeah, he's in prayer here. That's what this is. Two things that he's asking, and I want to see what you think about these two things. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Two things. Remove me from vanity and lies. Vanity is talking about it's talking about trouble. It's talking about liars, people that are dishonest, that sort of thing. I don't think he's talking about removing me from people who are that. I think what he's talking about is not becoming one of those, not being found a liar, not being in need of reproof. He says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, or fitting, proper for me. And then he says, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. This is a really good three verses for young Christians who are in the beginnings of their life. It tells you where your goals should be. You think a lot of people have goals of being rich?
Sure. Yeah.
Would you want to be rich?
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah, we already are.
Well,
somebody
said no,
they're lying.
I'm
so rich that I
want to
think I can do it myself.
Go away. Get off my phone. compared to our culture, as to where you are now in it. In this culture, I don't think probably anybody in here would be considered rich. I think if you are, you'd be pretty much on the low end of the rich scale. A desire to be rich. Now, Solomon is asking here, if this is Solomon, and I don't know for sure that it is, I can't guarantee that that's who's speaking here. This sounds a little bit strange, doesn't it, if this is Solomon? He's wise, but was he rich?
He was super rich.
Solomon was probably the Elon Musk of his day, and then some. Solomon was rich beyond imagination, material things. Yes.
He didn't ask for those riches. He asked for wisdom, and God gave him, blessed him with those riches. But maybe in being that rich with a circle of people that he communicated with, he saw how adverse that could be, and prayed for neither wealth nor poverty, because he saw both ends of the spectrum as a king. But he never asked to be rich. He asked for wisdom, and God gave him the riches without a mask.
Poverty is easier to come by. But he didn't want either one of them.
Doesn't Ecclesiastes, doesn't it say, give me neither great poverty nor great riches?
It says that in Proverbs where we're reading. this is it. This is that verse. There is one in Ecclesiastes. It's chapter 5, verse 11. I think it's right. Yeah, 5:11. You can go, matter of fact, you might as well just go there and read that one, because it's going to tell us the reasoning behind this. What's the first thing people do normally when they go out, when they win the lottery? They buy a big house. That's the first thing that almost across the board, they buy a bigger, great big house. I built a great big house back in the 90s. It was big by our standards. It wasn't big by Solomon or Elon's standards. Here we go. It says, start in verse 9. Actually, start in verse 8. That's a new paragraph, and it's talking about poor and otherwise. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. Now, there are people that would take that and say that means that capitalism is wrong, and so we ought to all be communists and throw our, you know. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about everybody has to live from the same resources. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. And here's why. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. When people are rich, they are burdened. Not blessed, but burdened with those riches. You say, well, how could riches be a burden? Well, how could answer it? It flatly says here that goods are what? What are goods?
Your house, your car.
It's everything you buy from Amazon. It's stuff.
It's never enough.
Well, actually, that's coming up next in our lesson, but goods, stuff, when goods are increased, they're increased that eat them. So is this only talking about food stuff, or is this talking metaphorically about consume them? It is.
And the more stuff you have, the more stuff you have to protect. So,
and then pretty soon you got to hire guards to watch over it, and then you got to pay the guards, and then you have to have other guards to keep those guards from stealing it. And
never ending.
And then you have the people that are after you for money for charitable causes and causes that may not be so charitable that they'd like you to believe they are.
Her family thinks you know them.
Lisa has, me too, I mean, I'm not picking on her, but and especially since she's not here, she has always thought it would be cool to have a place on a lake somewhere, you know. And that's a real popular thing, by the way, and that's a really nice thing to have a lake house. And I've always kind of been against it. And I'll tell you why. Because there's a point, and it depends on what you spend your life doing. You spend it with your family, you spend it in ministry, you spend it serving the Lord, you spend it a lot of different ways. But a second home can easily start owning you instead of you owning it. You know, you got to take care of it. And, you know, because God gives you a blessing like that, he also comes with some requirements that you take care of it. You can't just let it go. And it takes time. And time is what life is made out of. And you only have so much. And so then you got to, if you take time away take care of that, well, what you took time away from is now going to suffer. Or be blessed, depending on, you know, if she wants to be rid of you or not. But anyway, that could go either way. But the kids are going to miss you when you're out taking care of the extra house. Or if you can put them to work. There are ways to handle riches. But most of the time, they begin to handle you instead. What about the part that says, give me neither poverty nor riches? So where is this middle ground? Enough and to spare. Okay. Clarissa?
What is the saving, the beholding of them with your eyes
mean? The only blessing that he has is getting to look at them.
Oh, okay.
That's it. You've seen cartoons where Midas is sitting in the treasure room counting, you know, playing with the gold, and you know, that's kind of what you're talking about there. The only good you're going to get from it is just getting a look at it. Well, I guess if it's art, if you're investing in art, you know, maybe you get some pleasure from that. Poverty. How much different would it be now from where you are now to poverty? Everybody that I know of, at least in this room, considers riches to be more than money. There's other ways to be rich besides having plenty of money, or an abundance of money, or too much money, or whatever that is. I don't know, not very many people I know that would say that they have too much money. Yeah.
The riches doesn't guarantee that happens.
Riches is not going to keep your marriage intact.
No, or anything else.
Well, you see this like played out in like famous people, you know, actors. I mean, you see like nonstop people are like committing suicide, and they're like young actors, you know.
Yep.
Everyone thinks they have their life together and they have all the money in the bank, but, you know.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
No. Of course you can't, Mary. I'm just messing with you.
I'm getting out of here, man. Okay, in verse 8, it says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty. You know, I think more or less you're talking about, give me the word of God. Give me Jesus. Give me God. Take everything is. Forget about all that. Feed me with God's word. I want to feed on his word.
Food that's convenient,
you know,
for me.
Oh, yeah, the food that's convenient. That's, I believe you're talking about the word of God.
Yeah, amen, amen. However, there is another side to that. Neither poverty nor riches feed me with food convenient for me. If the food he's talking about is just bread and groceries, well, that'd be one thing. But I think he's talking about more than that, obviously. Is the same food right for everybody?
No.
Depends on where you are in your growth in the Lord.
Well, it's in your growth, but there's also a difference in everyone. You know how the Bible tells you not. It says people who compare themselves to other people are not wise. I'm glad you all remember that, because that's a really good scripture to remember.
Yeah.
But what you figure out after a while is that you can say, well, we're middle class. Or we're whatever. We're not middle class. I think we have a lot more class than people in the middle. But I'm not sure what that means. But I think I have figured out that every child of God, especially every creation of God, but every child of God is absolutely unique.
Yeah, unique and special.
There's nobody like anybody else. I mean, yeah, you find people that have things in common, but your relationship with the Lord is not like any other person's relationship with the Lord that's probably ever lived or ever will. Not exactly the same. Everybody is unique. Everybody's different, but the Word of God fits everybody. That's pretty amazing, is it not?
Who could have done that?
Yeah, who could do something like that? It would take somebody that could do something like that would like have to be able to ascend and descend and gather the wind in his fists, or bind the waters with a garment, or... Yeah. Gary?
It says a feed me with food that is convenient for me. If it just said convenient, then that would be just one food for everybody.
Yeah, for me. That's what I'm saying. there are things that fit me, and probably no one else that's ever lived. My wife would say, "Yeah, you're that weird. You're that unusual." No, she wouldn't say it like that, but that's the way I'd say it. Yeah, I probably am that strange. A lot of people are going to take this attitude, or this, I don't know if this is kind of, it can become an attitude. And it says, feed me the food convenient for me. Does that mean that there are things that are right for you that are not right for other people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. How so?
For example, when you're a really young Christian, there's things that you just can't accept because you haven't learned it yet. You haven't gotten far enough to be able to understand it. Things be beyond your understanding.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. Vicki, what do you think?
Well, I was just thinking, you were talking about how God made each one of us unique, and I've been watching some things on YouTube about their conjoined twins, and they call them craniopagus twins, and they're twins that share the same brain, but they are each uniquely different, even though they share part of the same brain. So that's how God is, they started from the same cells, and they divided and didn't completely separate, which is why they're conjoined, but even God made those two people who may spend a lifetime together conjoined at two different personalities, one dominant, one submissive, one happy, one quiet, you know, and they're completely different people, even though, you know, so if God, you know, can do, you know, so they each have different needs, even though they share their brain.
Okay, so we believe, we think, and I think accurately, that there are things that are right for some of us that aren't right for others. Levels of riches, for example. Not everybody can handle the same amount. Not everybody can do with, you know, I mean, those are things true. But what about when you move over into the realm of right and wrong instead of what's right or what's fitting for me? There are people that will say the things that they're doing aren't wrong for them. Mm-hmm. It's right for me.
Right.
Matter of fact, there's scripture in this chapter, verse 20. It says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. I knew Jerry would like it. Jerry always liked the wicked woman in here. I don't know what it is. Now, we laugh, but there are a lot of people just like that. I mean, just like that. Well, yeah, that may be wrong for you Christians, but that's okay for me. That's just, you know. Is that right?
No.
Are there things that are sin for some people and not sin for other people?
No. I think there are some people that have, like, alcohol in itself is not a sin. But I may not have a proclivity to abuse alcohol, whereas someone else, and I may can, you know, go on vacation and have an alcoholic beverage, and someone else can go on vacation. That one alcoholic beverage leads to 1,000 in a lifetime of destruction.
Okay.
So that is not that's not itself the sin, but I mean certain things are. I mean, murder is a sin regardless.
Okay.
Of who you are and however it applies, and there are certain things. So
I guess there are really things that would be considered sin. I mean, sex is probably the biggest one that's sin here, but not sin over there.
That's true.
I mean, the Lord invented marriage, and, you know, he invented sex. He invented the desires, all that stuff. God's the author of all that. Maybe that's what he meant when he said in Isaiah, I create evil. I don't think that's what he was talking about, but that's in there too. We had a couple leave the church over that. Yeah. I didn't write it. I'm just not going to deny it. that's a lesson for another day. If I ever get brave enough to get into that subject again. But, okay, so poverty. You ever been really poor?
Not for long.
So I know you have been, but it wasn't very long.
Oh, actually, it seemed a long time. It was, I started out poor, but I didn't know I was poor. And then I went to school, and they told me real quick how poor I was. I learned real fast. It taught me a lot. You know, I got to ask you, you know, obviously the middle is the place that we want to be. It's a balance. It's, yeah, it is. At least this is what this prophecy is telling, is asking God for. Lord, let me get where I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to have the life I live for nothing, vanity. And give me neither poverty nor riches, but put me in the middle. I hope the Lord won't strike me for adding that. That's really not God's word. It's just what I think he's talking about, okay? So, feed me with food or bless me with the life that's right or convenient. And here's why. I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Is everybody that rich, do they tend to forget about God being there? Not all of them, but a lot of them. Yeah. I've got money. I don't need you now. Oh, it is so wrong. And it is such a mistake. But it's like that. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Who are you talking about? You need Jesus. Who are you talking about? What do I need Jesus for? Well, let me tell you, there's a bunch of people out there that are pretty well loaded and they don't think they need anybody.
Comfortable long enough to start to think like that. Like, not that you don't need him, but that, you know.
Yeah.
That you're going to be okay.
Or lest I be poor and steal. Do all poor people steal?
No.
That's one thing that I can say, even as a child growing up, I would not steal anything. I flat wouldn't do it. I saw other people do it.
You know, it's funny you say that. We did a white elephant game with all these women from the
Well, that's
elephant.
I take that back. I do steal once a year.
No, they called on me, and this girl got, like, this buffalo plaid bag, and I was like, ooh, that's like a bag for the baby. But I felt guilty for stealing, and they said, that's the point of the game. So I just took what I got.
Well, there you go. Yeah, being in the middle, enough in despair, that's got to be one of the wisest things we ever learned from Proverbs.
Yeah.
To what Amanda said, in the white elephant gang, stealing is okay because everybody does it. It's all part of the, so it's not, you know what I mean? You're not taking it from someone.
That's not a good one.
You're on fair playing field.
Yeah, I tell people when we start the game, we're rescinding this commandment for the next hour. So that's it. You know, but
your mindset goes, well, what if they really wanted that? Then you would feel bad for taking it. But it's like, I really wanted it.
Yeah, well.
Isn't that bad that we, as a church, play that game?
It's only good fun.
You know,
elephant gifts for a reason.
one of the things that I've learned from one aspect of wisdom, and it is wisdom, that I learned and I tried to teach my children, and that is that don't allow yourself to want anything very much. Don't allow yourself to want anything. Well, you've got to have this. You got to discipline yourself that you can't go there in life. For a bunch of reasons. One, like if you're playing a game, but somebody else it's going to diminish them, just, you know, something, if you do. So you let it go. You don't end up hopelessly in debt. Yep. If you do not allow yourself to want anything too badly, it will prevent divorces. When people are getting to know each other and they don't allow themselves to want anything too bad, Jerry.
Before I was when I was lost, I wanted great riches. I wanted great riches. But for me, it wasn't for fancy cars and houses and stuff like that. The money was just security.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Well, I also learned from Proverbs wisdom that the only security there is in the Lord.
Amen.
There is no other security. Riches have wings. They fly away. And they can fly fast. They can go, they can speed. And that's another thing about the great riches. The stress involved in trying to hold on to it is horrible. So, neither riches nor poverty. I knew that would make for a good discussion today, or at least I thought it would.